Military families whose loved ones are deployed for long periods of time understand what it's like to experience loneliness. But statistics show they aren't alone.
Though there are many ways to stay connected these days, many people experience loneliness. We'll talk about it today on Real Family Talk. Welcome to Real Family Talk. I'm Willie Oliver.
And I'm Elaine Oliver.
This is a program about strengthening families and inspiring hope.
It gives us a place to talk about family dynamics and share tools to strengthen our marriages and families.
I often say when we have strong marriages, we're more likely to have strong families, strong churches, and strong communities.
Today on Real Family Talk, we're going to talk about loneliness. Here are some intriguing statistics. According to the Campaign to End Loneliness, half of all older people in the United Kingdom, about 5 million, say the television is their main company.
That's an amazing statistic.
It is an amazing statistic. And you know what? I understand loneliness just a little bit, because you were traveling one time without me. And, you know, we travel a lot together, so we've kind of gotten a little spoiled. And it was very lonely.
It was.
You know, at first it was kind of nice, I have to say. It was just a little nice just to be by myself. But that got old after a couple hours.
Okay, just a couple hours? I thought a couple of days or something like that.
Well, you know, we'll stick with a couple hours.
That's your story and you're sticking to it.
That's my story.
But it's amazing that so many people are watching television just to not be lonely.
Yeah, and what the thing about it is that when you come home, it's easy to turn on. Like, what I would do is turn on the radio.
Okay.
And so at least
you can hear a voice.
You hear a voice.
There's someone there with you.
Yeah. But there's some more statistics. Sociologists at Duke University and the University of Arizona interviewed 1,500 people. One in four said they have no one with whom they can talk about their personal troubles or triumphs.
My goodness, that's really hard. No one to talk to. And no one you can identify that you're close enough, that you have the kind of relationship where you can talk about things that really matter to you.
So we're talking about lonely people, and there are a lot of people that are experiencing loneliness.
Yes. The Washington Post estimated that for every 10-minute increase in commuting time to and from work, there's a 10-minute decrease in the time spent establishing and maintaining social ties. Imagine that. Every 10-minute increment of commuting time.
Absolutely. There's more, though. The number of people who indicated that they had a neighbor in whom they could confide in had dropped more than half since 1985, from 19% to about 8%. Even clergy can relate. A new Barna Group study reveals that 60% of pastors admit they have few close friends.
Well, this has always been the case with pastors, you know.
It's an occupational hazard.
It is an occupational hazard. You know, you're a part of a community for just a short period of time. You're not sure how long you're going to stay. And, you know, historically, pastors have been careful about who they're friends with. But with your neighbors, not being able to talk to your neighbors, that's a big deal.
Yeah. That exposes them to loneliness.
Yes, indeed. Next on Real Family Talk, we're going to talk about the reality of loneliness. Stay with us.
Military families whose loved ones are deployed for long periods of time understand what it's like to experience loneliness. But statistics show they aren't alone.
Paul Anderson is a chaplain and serves as director of pastoral care at a military treatment facility in the United States. Prior to his Navy career, he pastored for 10 years. His wife, Deborah, is a speaker, former radio talk show host, and news anchor. She currently serves as deputy chief of staff and communication director for a United States congressman. Deborah and Paul have been married for 31 years. Welcome, Chaplain and Mrs. Anderson.
Thank you.
We're delighted to have you here today. What contributes to a person's loneliness?
I think there are a number of factors. Sometimes it's grief or a sense of loss or a sense of disconnectedness. And sometimes that disconnectedness, especially in a military context, is because even though we may be on a ship full of people or in a battalion full of people, we're disconnected from the people who calibrate our identities most.
Mm. And sometimes it's because people have low self-esteem. They don't feel worthy of being a part of a relationship that produces camaraderie and good feelings and love and support. They just don't feel like they're worthy of that. And so they isolate themselves from people and become lonely.
Yeah, so it's pretty amazing, right, that in the midst, what I'm hearing you say is that in the midst of so many people around us, people are still lonely. They're still experiencing loneliness. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think about this whole thing of social media now? Do you think that that has mitigated against loneliness?
I think some people use it as a tool to medicate loneliness, sometimes inappropriately. It is a way to reach out and connect with people from far away that you haven't seen in a long time. So from that point of reflection, it's good. But in a pit of loneliness, sometimes it can exacerbate vulnerabilities and open up other avenues that even further isolate in an attempt to medicate.
I heard you say a little while ago that they're lonely because they're not connecting with the relationships that really calibrate their lives. Mm-hmm. Speak a little bit more to that.
Well, deployment has its, it can build a relationship. It can also corrode a relationship depending upon the essence that is there in the relationship. And if it is a corrosive circumstance and you're far away from home, trust issues may have been violated, or they may not have built the trust pillar in their relationship that's so necessary when you're apart from each other alone.
So what I'm hearing you say is that some people in the military, they leave home on a bad note. Mm-hmm. And when they leave home on that bad note, it's very difficult to repair it while they're away. And it can just escalate.
Right, right. It can, depending on the maturity of the individual and the maturity of the relationship. So often young relationships will end on that. There is a pre-deployment issue where people almost always will have a point of friction before the plane takes off or the ship leaves the pier. But a mature family knows what it is and knows how to work their way through it. So older soldiers and sailors need to mentor the young ones so that they know, you know, she may have said this or he may have said that. That's not a reason to act inappropriately while you're gone.
And much of that happens because of a crisis situation that's imminent. And they're just acting out of the pressures that they're feeling about separation, the imminent separation.
Yeah. I can remember when Paul was being deployed to Bahrain for a year.
Bahrain.
And we knew it was going to be for a year. It wasn't an assignment that I could go on. And the children were of age where they wouldn't have gone. But we were all still living in the same house at that time. And the anticipation of that deployment wreaked more havoc, I think, at that time on our family than any other deployment, for whatever the reason was. And we had, if I'm not talking out of school, the family had a major blow-up. Too late now, huh? But, oh, well. You know, there
no,
was
that's
a,
helpful.
There was the children had a major blow-up. And Paul and I were able to recognize it as the anxiety that takes place before deployment.
Right.
And thankfully and prayerfully, you know, he got on that plane and we were all at the airport together. But, you know, there was some healing and some things that we had to work through. But these are the things that military families go through. And it's like a cycle. It's like a biorhythm. You know that every 3 years, something is going to change. Yeah. Something is going to come up. And so you kind of just
prepare for it.
Prepare for it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's funny that you know, you're saying that military families are just a microcosm of the families at large. And so there are many families who experience this type of anxiety for various reasons.
Right.
And hence why so many people are experiencing loneliness in their lives. You know, it makes me wonder, and I'll ask you this, and I think, you know, we all have our own perspective on this, and that is, why do you think we have this need to be connected, to be in relationship with people?
Because if you think about it, Adam and Eve are the only two people mm-hmm. on earth that never, that were not born into some kind of a relationship. We all have the privilege of being born to a mother and a father. Mm-hmm. Whether those two people stay in our lives forever is a different story, but we are all born into a relationship. And it is something that is inherent within us, that we crave some kind of connection. We demand some kind of a connection to people. And so loneliness, you know, when there is no such connection, then loneliness will creep in. It's just kind of a part of life, I think.
Yeah, so you think God instilled in us. I mean, we know that that's the way God designed us, to be in relationship
right.
with one another. And right. so we have this desire, this innate desire to be connected to one another. And it's amazing, though, how so many people in this world are looking for so many other things, so many other ways in which to fill that void of loneliness.
It's just what happens. You know, God made us to be in relationships, mm-hmm. and when they're not working, and especially when we're away from each other, mm-hmm. It's a natural consequence of being apart and separated from each other. Well, this is really enlightening, what you're sharing with us. And, you know, we'd like to hear some more about that. You have another angle to
yeah,
explore with them?
You know, we're saying that there are 7 billion people in the world.
Yes.
And with so many people in the world, why are we lonely, though? You know, and so I just want to segue off of what you were saying earlier of the fact that is it that people don't recognize that they need to connect with people? How can people find ways, healthy ways? Because you spoke a little bit about the military and the fact that sometimes people find unhealthy ways to fill this void. But what do you think about how do people find healthy ways in which to connect?
I think that social networking in real time, at church, in support groups, in exercise, gymnasiums, other kinds of, all kinds of places where
you know
people
what?
Can connect and contact.
We're going to continue that conversation, but right now we're out of time, and we'll be right back with more conversation and Real Family Talk with Paul and Deborah Anderson.
So today we're talking about the reality of loneliness in our world with Deborah and Paul Anderson. They've been married for 31 years, but because of Chaplain Paul's military responsibilities, they've been apart from time to time. So before the break, you were talking to us a little bit about how people can find healthy ways mm-hmm. in which they can fill this void, bridge this gap of loneliness.
I think one of the first things that an individual who is lonely has to understand, admit, and accept is we need someone else in our lives. As my wife had said, we were not created to be alone. So recognizing that, then you'll have to assess what your real need is.
So hold that thought right there. So that's number one, that people have to admit and accept that they're lonely. And oftentimes people don't mm-hmm. want to do that. So they're just going along. How do we get people to get to that place where they become more self-aware that they are, in fact, experiencing this loneliness?
That's a good question. First, I would say everyone who is alone is not always lonely.
That's right.
But for those who do recognize that they are lonely, it takes a point of, I think, personal maturity to accept that fact, or someone looking on for someone who's younger who might be acting aberrant to say, you know, perhaps you need a good friend. Let me introduce you to, or perhaps we can offer to be a safe haven of friendship mm. to someone who is lonely.
So that's very helpful then. So you're saying that sometimes a more mature person, a more experienced person, maybe even someone who's experienced loneliness themselves can identify it in someone and say, you know what, I sense this person is lonely. Maybe I can reach out to them.
Right.
What do you think the church can do to help individuals who are in this predicament, feeling lonely and not sure what they should do? How can the church help?
I always will start with the point that we have to touch the person, and I mean physically and emotionally, to find out what their need is. There are some people that choose to be lonely. There are some people that are very comfortable being alone, sometimes lonely. It just gives them a sense of, okay, I'm comfortable here. But I think the church in itself, if they would reach out to people and just talk to them, and if you see somebody and you surmise that they are lonely, then if you reach out to them and talk to them and find out whether or not they like being alone or if they're lonely, and then meet that need. And, you know, it's not always the quantity of friends or acquaintances, but the quality of those relationships. And so it could be that they have one person. They just need one person to talk to have it, them to be the outlet for them. So reaching out and talking to somebody and seeing that person that's always by themselves, that might sometimes be the way that they like it.
It makes me think about widows and widowers. And I've often heard people whose spouses have died, and this is somewhat apropos to the military as well, say how lonely they are. And the thing that really strikes them, what I've often heard from people, is how people shun them. You know, it's like during the funeral, everybody's there and they're bringing food and giving you a hug and all of that. And then as soon as the funeral is over, then everyone disappears. Mm-hmm. And I've even heard someone say that even at church, people won't even give me eye contact. You know, it's like I come into church and people avert their eyes. Mm-hmm. And so what you're saying is so important and so poignant. Touch people, mm-hmm. hold them, mm-hmm. look at them, mm-hmm. care for them. Mm-hmm. But that really takes a lot of commitment, right, on the part of the church members.
And being intentional and paying attention to what's going on. I'm really interested in finding out more about how you dealt with loneliness mm-hmm. when Paul was deployed. What did you do?
Interesting. I had just gotten, I just moved into the position, the job that I was in. So Paul was gone. The children had left the nest as well. And I threw myself into my job. I had nothing to go home to, no one to go home to. And so it was easy. And you know how it is when you mm-hmm. begin a new job, that you want to learn as much as you can, do the very best that you can, mm-hmm. and you usually spend more hours. This gave me the opportunity to just delve right in there, get right in there, and soak up as much knowledge and throw myself into work. That, and I had some extracurricular activities with my high school, and I started working in a position with my high school doing some things, and it just... I just threw myself into work. I had a family system, however, that supported me. And Paul's, most of his brothers and sisters, actually all of his brothers and his sister have military experience in the reserves or on active duty at some point.
So they were empathetic?
They were empathetic.
And they lived in the area?
Exactly, and they lived in the area, so they knew exactly what I needed, when I needed. One brother, I don't know if you remember the sniper.
Yes.
Yes.
Called me every day, see where I was, did I get in the house okay, where did I buy my gas that day, only buy things on base. So I had a great support system to help me through that very difficult period initially.
Now, you mentioned throwing yourself into work. Well, that can be good, but it could mm-hmm. also have some adverse effects, can it not?
It can. Fortunately, I didn't experience any of those, but it can.
How did it work with your relationship, though? Because then when he came back and you were thrown into work, did you experience any of this?
We need another 30.
I was going to preface that by saying, I know this is not a marriage show, but it just sort of, begged the question.
Reintegration is always a challenge, but there's a science to that as well.
Okay.
And it's about gradual shifts and changes and recalibrating and dreaming about how we want it to be. And if we communicate that ahead of time, then when we get together, we begin the process of reconnecting and repacing ourselves for the rest of the journey.
That is so important, because reintegrating is so critical for all families. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, even though we use the military family as an example of families who are being deployed or being separated, there are many families who experience this, maybe on a smaller scale. Right. But, you know, husbands who have to take contracts away for a couple months, right, or wives who have to leave their children and their husbands for job responsibilities, that reintegration is huge on families.
And I think that's the most exciting part of it, because it's like a newness. There is an excitement.
I love your excitement. You guys, you know, but that's so important. Yeah. And I think, you know, what you said about dreaming and what you're saying, and this is critical, and I hope our viewers are seeing this, is that it's an attitude.
It is.
It's the way you approach your relationship. Right. It's the way you approach your marriage. And I can see that you've done that, and that's how it's worked for you.
One of the things I did very quickly was I totally redecorated the house in anticipation, as though, you know, it was brand new and it didn't go so well, but that's another show. But it's part of all the excitement.
We've been talking with Paul and Deborah Anderson about dealing with loneliness. We have a little bit more to talk with them about, and stay with us. We'll be right back.
So today we've been talking about loneliness, which is a reality for so many people in our world, our community, our offices, and maybe even in our own families. We're thankful to have the Andersons with us today. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
So just as we were going to break, I wanted to ask you about how you handled loneliness, Chaplain, while you were deployed, away from your wife, away from your family.
You know, different deployments have different emotional costs and investments. Yeah. And most of my deployments, I didn't have a loneliness factor because I didn't have time. You're dealing with, for instance, when I was on the ship, the USS Monterey, it's a guided missile cruiser. We had 365 people on board, and I was the only chaplain. So every day, I'm walking every space of the ship, getting to know everybody. By the end of the day, I'm beat.
You're ready to sleep.
And ready to sleep, but I would kind of journal my day. And I'd send Deborah an email of what had transpired that day, or take time to write a letter. And I kept a leather journal in my room.
Okay.
So those were things. But we had some occasions that there were some pretty harrowing times. I had a sailor jump overboard and read him recovering. Almost everyone on the ship saw it. So they're traumatized, and I'm the only chaplain on board.
So were people talking with you?
A lot of that going on. Mm-hmm. But I was there, so right. I was traumatized as well. But
who do you go to when you're traumatized?
There. I didn't have time to worry about that until we got back to port.
Okay.
And you spend a lot of time on the phone, plane tickets, et cetera. Yeah. But in some deployments, people stay so busy at work because there's nothing else to do but work.
Right.
But you also have a danger there because you create intense relationships on board based upon the experiences you've had boarding other ships or Liberty ports. And I teach my sailors to share those things with their families so that when they come home, the family knows the story.
Right.
Because if you have a relationship with someone else that isn't nefarious, but still excludes the family, it can have the same impact as if it were a nefarious relationship.
Yes, because you begin to grow in different directions, away from your family.
Right.
That involves people that they have no idea about.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. But staying busy as a chaplain, creating worship experiences or touring experiences when we hit ports and other things was a tremendous way to combat the spirit of loneliness that would cause depression or something like that. I made it an adventure.
Well, right. I want to follow up just quickly on how did your spiritual life impact what really happened, how you managed loneliness?
That was the core, because on a ship at sea or in a deployed environment where you might be one of two or three chaplains, you can't afford to be down, because people will see you and say, "Chaplain, if your face is down, What hope do I have?
Yes.
So I had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be your vessel. I want to be your ambassador of joy wherever you send me. And God calibrated my perspectives, my attitude, such that I could radiate optimism and just the joy of being alive.
Yeah.
When you come home and you have the letdown from that, I guess that's the topic of another story. But spirituality has its place there as well, as does depending upon close loved ones. And you have to be open and vulnerable in order to be healed and repaired.
Yeah, I think what I've seen with both of you is that both of you really relied a lot on the Lord. And that's what really has sustained you in your relationship and your deployments. And you've just shared some wonderful things with us, and we really hope that our viewers have gleaned from many of the things that you've shared today and how we can combat loneliness. And I love the word calibrate, calibrate. So from this day forward, we hope that you will calibrate your lives so that we won't have to experience this type of loneliness in our lives.
Thank you, Chaplain and Mrs. Anderson. It's been delightful having you here with us.
We've
had a good time.
Thank you.
That's all for today's Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll talk more about strengthening families and inspiring hope.